It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hour in with Naz with the national anthem.
Everyone should be standing. Cool.
Woo!
This is so cool.
Now the Steve Sears Summer Tour has started, Cofield. That's the tradition.
What a way to begin.
That is now, it's Bikini Tug of War. Now everything just changed for us.
Bedlam.
Right? We're at a better venue. I mean, we've come a long way from the little table Silver Sevens.
A little bit. Reno's in. I assume everyone in Reno and Sparks, I hope you pulled over. How dare you drive when we got the national anthem on Vegas as well.
People in the pool were standing at attention. I thought that was so cool.
How do you tell?
They stopped in there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead, sit down, bud. Anyway, I met this young man. I hosted every Wednesday for a couple years, the 27 show at Virgin. And obviously he played Jimi Hendrix in the show, and we became friends. And I had him over, and he played at my house. And the next thing you know, he's playing in front of tens of thousands in Singapore. Anyway, everyone say hello to Naz. Naz, this is Nye, and this
hey,
is Cindy,
Naz.
And you know
hey,
Steve.
Hi. Yeah, how are you? He was killing out on that electric guitar. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
National anthem.
And he is my only real friend from South Africa.
North Africa.
North Africa. Oh, okay. So there's a big difference. Yeah. I understand.
There's a big difference. Yes.
Big time, yeah. French speaking, French colonized versus... You know, down south with this more British and Dutch. So, yeah.
So you like apartheid.
How's that?
You like apartheid.
And then it's
sorry. You're like, whoa, no.
Yeah, North Africa. Let me know.
Not south. Easy, Steve, please.
And for the listeners, we're at Marquee Day Club in the Cosmo. Naz is part of the house band at my favorite place, the Barbershop.
Yep.
So, and plays there a few nights a week with Leah, who we're going to interview later. And anyway, so how was Singapore? And are you just blown away? I mean, you've really blown up, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. So, you know, the whole story is we started in the show 27 in 2021, where I met you, where I met Steve. And, you know, that lasted about a good 7 months, and it kind of ended overnight. And, you know, Leah and I said, you know, what are we going to do? So I went and talked to the guy that... His name is Ben.
So Jimi Hendrix hooked up with Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And we went to the barbershop, and I talked to one of the guys that runs it. I said, hey, man, are you looking for subs? And he liked that. He said, why don't you start a band? I'll give you 3 days. He gave us 3 days to put about 40 to 50 songs together. And that's what we did. That was our in, and we got in. And I remember the first show was pretty brutal. But we got through. No one noticed, except for us, that it was bad. But... No, we started there. We played there for a good a year. And after that, obviously, things started growing. And eventually, we got hooked up with Armed Forces Entertainment, who scouted us. And our first tour was in Japan. We got to open for Sean Paul. I don't know if you guys remember Sean Paul.
Remember
yeah.
Sean Paul.
That was a crazy show, yeah, over in Okinawa.
And these are for our troops?
Yes, for the American troops.
Okay.
American troops. So for the Marines, Air Force, Navy, Space Force, Army, obviously. And we went all over Japan. Like, I think we did about 4 different cities. And then from there, we went to Singapore. And from Singapore, we went to an island called Diego Garcia, which is a tiny little island off the Indian Ocean. And it's, you know, invite-only type thing. And we got to play there, stay overtime, because they only have one flight coming in. So we got stranded because there was an issue with the plane in Singapore, which was nice. It's a paradise, man. It's blue ocean, so, you know, we hung out there.
And are the troops just so happy to hear rock and roll?
Man, big time, big time. You know, it's not what I realized, you know, as soon as I got there, I was like, dude, this isn't about us, you know? Like, I don't care about your little diva issues, you know, talking to the guys. It's like, we're there for them. And that's when you realize, you go, holy shit, we're actually doing a service. We're actually giving back. And as a musician, that's what, you know, the bigger picture is. You know, it's not about, oh, look at me. But it's like, we have a gift and we're helping people. We're giving love to someone. And when you think of it like that and you love it, you don't look at the struggles anymore.
The crowds were nuts. I could say that. The crowds were nuts.
Oh, man, yeah. It was great. It was great, you know. And so, yeah, so we're doing another tour coming up in December. We're going to the Middle East. We're going to, I believe, Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, Bahrain.
But the cool thing for our listeners, they can come to the barbershop a couple of nights a week and listen to you right there.
Yeah, so we're playing a few venues in town. We're playing at the barbershop, at the Cosmopolitan. We play a lot at Red Rocks at two different venues, one called Rouge Room.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've heard of Rouge Room.
They built a new stage. Rocks Lounge, that's at Red Rocks. So these two
Zoe
venues.
Bowie Lounge. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Where you founded them. This guy founded Zoe Bowie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Enough about me. Yeah. What do you think about me?
Yeah, no,
I brought Zoe Bowie to town. You hear anything different? It's a lie.
He did. I brought Zoe Bowie to town. It's a fact. Yeah, we were doing Fremont for a bit. We're not doing it right now. Am I forgetting any venues? I think I am. But our favorite is the barbershop, because you never know who's going to be in there. It sounds amazing. It's a speakeasy. Rod Stewart was there the other night. And a few months ago, Bruno Mars walked in. And
Cofield's never been. Yeah. I'm guessing Nye has been there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Cindy's been there.
I get out sometimes.
Yeah.
So what is the barbershop? What do you think?
It's like a speakeasy lounge, basically. So it's actually like you look like you're walking into a barbershop, and then you, like, have a secret knock or something, and they open up.
The janitor door, yeah.
Okay, but mind you, though, the first time I went there, I'm like, this is giving haunted house. You know, remember when you used to knock on the door, and, like, it would come, you know, it's crazy. But, no, it's a very beautiful speakeasy lounge, and they play live music, and it's just really cool vibe, like, if you're really not wanting to do the big nightclub. Yeah. I think you would really like it there.
It's a big living room, is what I tell people. It's a big living room with live music.
And they still do haircuts there as well.
Yeah.
In the barbershop.
I think,
what's the time? I think it's an all-night type of thing or what?
The haircuts start for the haircuts?
Yeah, and then it leads into...
until they close, which is about 2 a.m.
They close at 2, I believe.
Yeah, 2 a.m. Yes. Yeah.
Is that insulting to have someone like really into a haircut while you're playing?
No, I mean, it's separate rooms.
I'm really enjoying this.
Keep the music down.
They come in looking good.
Yeah. Now it's like, all right, listen to the music. Come on.
Cofield, if you just walk by, it's a real barbershop.
Yeah.
You have to walk to the back, and there's a little door that says janitor.
Yeah, it's a janitor door.
You walk through the janitor door, and you go into the barbershop.
You walk into this spectacular venue, and it's, you know, a lot of clientele that don't want to be seen, you know, whether it's celebrities, that they usually pick that place to come hang out. And I got to say, for live music, it's really keeping it alive in this town, and because you have great bands that really play, you know, we have about four or five bands that play there that are super talented and that they embody what they're doing, man. And they have a stage to do that.
It would help if Naz was more passionate about his career. He's a little passive about it. If he was more into it, it would just help.
Naz, I got a question for you, right? Because you are the definition of started from the bottom, now we're here, right? You are in one of the largest entertainment capitals of the world in Las Vegas. And I know that you say live bands are dying slowly, right? How does it feel to you to be in this position? You said your first performance, you didn't feel like it was good.
Yeah.
What was the perseverance of working through that?
Like you said, you know, you have to stay. You can't let it get to your head anytime. You're always a student. That's how I see it. So I'm like, if I play one of my best shows, I still find stuff. I go, yeah, but. So it always keeps you moving, and that's how you kind of keep growing and growing and growing. It's never good enough. And you have nights where you tap yourself, you know, I did it. But, man, the entrance, so there was something off. So you're always nitpicking things, and I think it's really healthy to do that. And there's even great artists like Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones who are still together after coming. How many decades?
They're all 80.
Yeah.
Plus, so.
Yeah. So
he's looking at 60 years plus.
Yeah, he watches himself after every show. He watches video and he goes, and he changes his move. He's 80 years old. This guy's been doing it since he was like 15. So, but that's, you know, you got to perceive, like, we've had doors close, and you got to trust that when a door closes, another one always open, and that's a fact. Like, there's always going to be another door. Trust. It's not for us. Because I know it's, you know, so.
How many times in your career did you want to quit?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
You know, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I started out in L.A. really young. You know, I was about 19, and the first band I got into got signed by a record deal. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything I expected. It was, you know, talk about being broke. There was no money. There was no food. And you were stuck on a contract. So that means you couldn't play with other people. So that right then, I was like, the discouragement that I felt, I was like, is this it? But the love for it, like, I love playing guitar. You know, I love writing music. And that keeps you going. It's now where I am in my life. I don't see myself ever quitting. Even if I tried, I go, I'm going to quit. The next morning, I'm going to wake up and be like, oh, where's my guitar? You know, so it's you got to love it.
I got him to open for the Aviator game.
Oh, that's right.
Cool. He did the Star Spangled Banner, and people freaked out.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
That passion
was cool.
Fuels purpose.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Passion, absolutely. You know, and he's saying, I consider myself a passionate person for sure, but it's also everything I've been through to get here, you know, and it makes me super passionate about it. It's like I get to wake up and go,
My gamblers get up every day and they go, I'm going to make a sports bet today.
Yo,
don't give up.
No.
Don't ever give up.
No.
Especially on parlays. Yeah. Don't give up.
But the good thing with you is you don't even have to gamble it, right? It's there. Your character is built. Okay, tell me this. You're from Africa.
North Africa, yes,
and
Algeria.
Your genre is primarily rock and roll?
Yeah, what I started to when I started picked up the guitar was rock. Yeah, rock, which led into classical. I've always had R&B and funk in my house, so that was a natural ability to kind of have that groove already, which eventually led me to one of my biggest gigs I got when I was in L.A. With an artist named Jody Watley, who was, you know, huge in the 80s and the 90s, and, you know, Prince. Her and Prince were homies. Her guitar player was Prince's guitar player.
Wow.
So when I got that gig, I got to explore that funk side of myself, R&B. And, again, that was a level up for me. That kept me going in the business for sure.
And then he met Steve Sear.
Yeah, and then I met Steve Sear. And he opened another door. The best door.
Who's your idol?
Oof.
I was about to ask that too, yeah.
Yo,
I want to know.
I'll be real with you. So when I started playing, everyone loves Hendrix, obviously, you know. And I never understood it when I listened to it until I saw it. I had a DVD of Hendrix playing that I bought at Virgin Megastore before they closed. Playing Monterey Pop Festival, which nobody knew him in the States. And I watched that, it changed my life. I started embodying what I saw there. Hendrix was, besides his playing, he was revolutionary, but it was the way he played, the way he performed. I mean, the dude burned his guitar on stage. Like, his passion was on another level, and I would say definitely, like most guitar players, Hendrix inspired me the most as a performer. Yeah.
We're going to take a time out. We'll come back. We got a few more minutes with Naz and Steve and Cindy are sticking around. It's Cofield and Company, Marquee Day Club here on a Monday. I'm going to give away some UNLV tickets right now. Two tickets to the opener, Utah Tech, Saturday the 7th of September, noon start, Allegiant Stadium. UNLVtickets.com is where you can get your tickets. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7. UNLV football right around the corner. Openers next week in Houston. Bye.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
He drills it, doesn't have enough. Oh, man, 66 for Aubrey.
This is the end of the first half.
Holy.
You know, I was watching the Raiders game, and I was going to say I might not have been like full go on my faculties. I don't know if I was drinking or something else, but Brandon Aubrey from the Cowboys made a 66-yarder. And like everyone who watched it, they're like, wait, was that 66 yards for real?
Well, no, that would be a record.
It actually ties the record, but it was preseason, so it doesn't count.
Oh.
It is tied for the longest field goal. And I'm telling you, Steve, He made the field goal by like 5 yards. He blasted it so far through the uprights. It was easy.
Very impressive.
He's actually he's a great story. He's actually a crossover guy.
I don't
he's 29.
How you started that segment? So you were drunk when you were. I don't understand. You started it and you said.
Yeah, I think I was.
You were inebriated. Okay,
yeah, I was.
Okay.
I was under the influence of something.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what I was on. I forgot. That's.
Okay.
The weekend went by quickly. Actually, you saw my friends from Kansas City.
Oh yeah.
You hosted them over.
He came to the front yard, which by the way, nah, you got to come because that's I love.
I would love to.
Next UFC.
Miss Lee. Okay.
Right.
So when
next UFC. So we got another. We got another artiste performer.
That again, her and Naz have played in my house before, and the next thing you know, they're to these huge crowds in Singapore. So, Leah, when I hosted the show 27, was Amy Winehouse, and she was beautiful and could sing it so good. She would always be last. She would be like the encore of the show.
Sure.
And so, for those who saw the show, and anyway, fell in love with her, and then her and Naz, next thing you know, they're headlining the Barbershop, my favorite club, and next thing you know, you just got back from Singapore. How wild was it, girl?
Yes, it was amazing. We played for the U.S. military out there. It was so fun, and we're going back out in December. I heard Naz talk about it, so we just love it.
I asked her if she was popular with the guys, and she said...
I said yes because I'm the only woman they see for 6 months. So it's like, they see me, and they're like, a woman! But... it's fun. It's my favorite. It's so fun.
And Naz gave a little speech about he felt like he was really giving back.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? Just because are these guys like they haven't seen any entertainment and then they see you? Or
yeah.
They
have. They rarely have any entertainment. Some of them are in these bases that are pretty,
Locked down.
And then they see us and I feel like we are giving back and they work so hard. They don't see their families. A lot of them don't get to have their girlfriends or their families there, their kids there. So for us, it's like this mutual, beautiful respect.
Well, I saw online, I mean, the crowd was going nuts. I mean, it might as well have been Woodstock, right? I mean, it was cool.
That'd be cool. I wish it was Woodstock.
And so talk about, with our listeners, the Barbershop. A lot of them haven't been there. None of these guys behind you that are my players have been there. I tell people it's like a big living room, huh?
Yeah.
And it's cool, and you really feel connected. One thing I do, Cofield, when I have guests come, I'll tell Leah ahead of time, and she'll go down and sing to the group, which is really cool. Because her voice is like, forget Mariah Carey. This girl can sing like crazy.
It's my favorite venue in Vegas, Barbershop.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just because you're so close to the people. I mean, you're literally like 8 feet away, Cofield. And it's not a high stage. It's just like maybe 3 steps.
Yeah.
So you feel right there. We got to get Cofield there so he goes.
Yeah, you guys have to come.
Do people rush the stage?
Sometimes.
Really?
It gets crazy. People get wild and drunk in there. So it gets pretty wild.
I watched, I'm going to date myself, but it was recently, Morrissey. Performed in town, and he had like 40 people try to climb on stage, and they kept escorting him off after he got a hug. I think it was part of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who Morrissey is.
I do know who Morrissey is.
I think he fakes anger, but he loves the adulation, so I think they have it set up.
Maybe we should do that.
Right.
Well,
get him away from me.
Yeah.
No, they're literally, Steve, like you're sitting here and they're right here. I mean, it is a big living room. There's no like separation. And people are dancing and that. I love the place. I wish Vegas had more lounge. I think that we're getting away kind of from the bigger venues. What do you think, Cindy?
I thought yes, but no. Like,
really?
even though we're in a little bit of a, like, inflation, things are a little more expensive, like, there's still people coming. I do think that old money, like people from your time.
Wow.
I'm just getting hammered today.
I'm sorry. Those are the clients that I think are the ones that are gearing more toward the speakeasies, the more intimate experiences. Like, Barbershop is such an intimate experience. The stage is only 3 feet high, just like you said, and obviously gives you a little bit more opportunity to be closer to the artist and, get a little bit of liquor courage, and people are all over it.
Very true. Yeah. So for people who are curious, because he is hyping you up, and I'm believing everything he is saying, where can everyone find you? What's your social media?
Our Instagram is mojo.ju.ju. Our band name is Mojo Juju. And you can find us, our website at mojojujuband.com.
Is there a story behind that? I've never asked you that. How did you get that damn name?
Yeah, so we started in the show 27. I played Amy Winehouse. Naz did the Jimi Hendrix bit. And we had to come up with a band name in 24 hours. So I combed through all the lyrics of all the artists in 27. And I loved Mojo Rising by Jim Morrison. that lyric Mojo Ryzen, and I said, let's use Mojo Ryzen, but tweak a little bit, and it became Mojo Juju.
Very creative. Uh-huh. How does it feel being the star of everything? Because as the main awesome. Performer you are, right? Like, how do you handle, is it pressure that you feel sometimes?
Definitely pressure, but I love performing. It's my livelihood. It's what makes me happy, and I love, I feel like in our performances, I bring a bit of a masculine energy to it, and I think that...
I don't see masculine.
He sees feminine right here. He sees everything.
Thank you.
Just the way that you're carrying yourself. And
I guess masculine more from the perspective of, like, just really rocking out and, like, getting really deep in there with the crowd and, like, just having so much fun and, like, not being afraid to make an ugly face or just, you know, I love that. So that's where I thrive, you know. But yeah.
I was going to say, I think female leads in a rock band are the best.
Yes.
I love
it. And they really, am I wrong? I don't think there really has been enough.
Pat Benatar in my era.
But, like, that's the thing. I was going to start naming people in my era. Right. I forgot who I was watching the other day. It was a younger group. But I was like, damn, there needs to be more female lead singers in rock bands.
I agree. That's what we're trying to do. We're writing originals and trying to play more and get out there. Yeah.
What's the experience of, like, going on tour, right? You're gone for months at a time. Like, what are the pros and cons of that?
It's honestly all I've ever dreamed of. I spent years in LA, you know, trying to do this thing. Before COVID hit, I was working as a hostess at a restaurant, just dreaming that I could do this. And then everything changed for me when I did 27. And now I appreciate every single day that I get to do this because it has always been my dream. So when we go on tour and stuff like that, there are some hard parts. We have to eat at a McDonald's or whatever, but it's like, I just enjoy it so much. I think it's so fun and such a unique experience.
Is it too much to ask you to hit a note while you're on radio?
Is
that too much pressure?
Well, here's the bad part. This equipment is not, right? Mateo's laughing like, don't do it on this. I'm not saying it's not equipped. It's not up to snuff. I don't think you're going to sound as good as you want to sound. I'm more like, don't.
I'll do I was born by the river in a little tent, just like that river I've been running ever since.
Oh, yes.
It's unbelievable. I'm telling you guys.
I take it back. That was awesome.
I'm telling you guys.
The equipment was fine.
No, when she sings, it's when you do Barracuda.
Yeah.
By heart, it's so good.
Girl, you gave me the chills.
Oh, no.
And I will say there are not a lot of women performers that give me that aspect, right? Like,
that's
you
awesome.
Have, I guess in a sense, your music, like, you know who Ari Lennox is?
Yes,
It's kind of like a vibe of that where it's so relaxing. Like, you just warm my heart.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
Who would you say that is your idol, anybody that you grew up to that you was like just knew that was a person that you really kind of wanted to follow in their footsteps?
Definitely Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
Recently, it's been Hayley Williams of Paramore.
Okay.
I didn't grow up with rock, so I grew up with, my parents raised me on folk music, opera. I grew up singing opera. So when we started the band, I really was discovering these bands for the first time, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, and I just became obsessed with these performers and how they emulated with the music. So, you know, Axl Rose, I've been obsessed with lately, and just kind of leaning into that vibe. Yeah.
Cool. No, it's just good. It's just good because, you know, I'm telling you, I'm a lucky guy. I get to do all this fun stuff.
I was going to nerd out and say, had you done shows, had you done, like, Broadway type stuff?
Yes.
Ever? Yeah. What'd you like to do?
I was in cabaret and, you know, did all those kinds of shows. I played Cinderella, and it was so fun, but once I found this thing with Nas, it was like, it just clicked. You know, when things just feel right, and we've never looked
back.
I
introduced him, you know.
You did. You did. The first time I met Steve, the first thing he said to me was, your legs go all the way up to your ass.
Yeah.
And I said, who's this guy?
No, because, she, you know,
good
she
first impression, Steve.
Amy Winehouse, she had those little red shorts on. I'm like, man, her legs are so far. And it just came out. I'd been drinking. I was like, man, your legs go all the way to your ass. And then, have you met Nas? And next thing you know, and so... Then we spent a lot of holidays together, and Thanksgiving, we became a little family.
And we've been friends for 4 years now.
Yeah,
so.
And so we all the 27 crew, they had to stay in town because they would perform.
What was 27, by the way? Or what is?
27 is the name of the show of famous musicians that died at 27. Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix, the Nirvana guy, Kurt Cobain. They all died at 27. And so it was a show that one of my million-dollar whales put on, who passed away recently, which is kind of sad. He's one of my first million-dollar players. And he would have their private jet pick all the 27, cast up, and go. Like, if I would just mention, yeah, you know, I don't know what to do tomorrow night. Like a 727 custom jet would come pick me up and take me to Beverly Hills for dinner.
Oh, wow.
Swear to God.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he had always envisioned on the show about all these famous people. That, if you saw the list of people,
it's crazy.
You would think it would be made up.
Yeah.
And they all, and so the show talked about how they died or if it was drugs or overdose. How did Amy die? To drugs?
Eventually.
And so the show, they would do four or five of those hit songs, and it was a great show. And anyway, he produced it. He said, I want you to host it and take care of the crew. And
he's in your book.
He is.
You write about him in your book.
He is.
Well, good luck with the next tour.
Thank you.
Excited to meet you. Little do you know, the other night at karaoke at Ellis, I was going to sign up for Nirvana to do some Rape Me.
Oh. Did it?
I didn't do it. No, I didn't get out there. My
friend
did some
Bill Diamond.
I love
asking that question, Cindy. And
on the way, little later, because we're right up against it. We got bills to pay. No, it is good. What is your karaoke go to?
We'll
come back. Thank you, Leah.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yeah, one of the best shows in terms of the setup we've ever done. Cosmopolitan and Marquee Day Club. Fantastic.
The hospitality is off the chain.
It's insane. I can only imagine how well, don't take this personally, they're treating dopes like me, us. This is beautiful. So I can't imagine how well they treat customers here. And we'll try to be back out here. I'm intrigued by the winter dome concept. That'll give me another reason to wear shorts kind of outside. I like to wear shorts, so even in December and January.
Freeze my
ass off.
Are you a sandal type of guy? Got them toesies
out? I'm not. I don't like feet. So if I'm going to be respectful of other people, I try not to have my feet out all the time. Although today I should have worn flip-flops. It's absurd. It's kind of sweaty. Plus, I can't look more nerdy than I do now. And then when you got the sneaks on, not a good thing. Nice here. Nice Zaragoza. Good lineup of guests so far. We were just talking to the folks who headline at the barbershop, and now they're touring all around the world with Leah and Nas. Steve Sears back in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Channel H, Chris Matthews, in just a little bit, because Chris had a really intriguing list up. Kind of a, if you're a dreamer, is there a song? If you're a dreamer and a Vegas fan, what's something you would wish for this year? So we'll get to that, and also his take on Gardner Minshew mania beating out Akon. So we got some cool, I'll say, entertainment events coming up. I think I was telling you last week about the hot dog eating contest here with the two legends, Chestnut and Kobe, down at Luxor. Well, that's on Netflix, and then they've also rescheduled the Jake Paul Tyson fight for Netflix. That's going to be in November. They're doing their press tour. Griffin, I want you in on this, because Griffin's a big fight fan, but I'll start with Nye. I watched the video, and I don't really know what they're doing. How did you read the video, like some kind of pushing and shoving at a press conference? What do you think?
Pure entertainment. This is exactly what this is. I think they're creating a lead into this fight, and it's absolutely hilarious, because it's all for money at the end of the day. Jake Paul claims he wants to KO legend Mike Tyson, which is not going to happen. But have you seen the amount that they're making from this? Jake Paul alone is going to collect $40 million for his efforts. Why not do it?
This is his business. I mean, the question is, why is Tyson doing it?
He's making money too.
Yeah, so he must be getting a big payday. And here's what I'm having trouble reading. So the pushing and shoving was like light, and Tyson's laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
So, Griffin, what do you think is going on?
I think it's how just Nye explained it. I think when it comes to Jake Paul, I expect every, you know, little trick in the book to promote a fight. I just hope that regardless of all the promotion, I hope Mike Tyson's laughing while throughout all of this, because he knows that when the fight goes down, despite his age, despite Jake Paul being closer to his prime than Mike is, I hope Mike's mindset is that I don't care what I got to do. Once the fight starts, I'm knocking this kid out.
So that's what I was hoping. Now, the cynical side of me, because I feel like every fight that Jake Paul has been in, almost every fight, guys have pulled their punches because they've been given a back-end bonus. Basically, hey, fight, dude, but don't fight. Like, don't knock him out, but fight as hard as you can, and you're going to get this extra money. Now, I think Tyson could succumb to that, But I also think Mike Tyson's crazy. So I think Mike Tyson, part of me wants to believe what Griffin just said, that Tyson is pushing and kind of laughing and, like, bumping him with an elbow to almost have Jake Paul be like, what is going on with this old man? Like, why is he not, like, really, why is he laughing? Like, this is freaking me out.
But that's how Mike Tyson is, though. He is.
I think he is.
He
now
can't be full of words now.
I think he's
right
now. He's got, he fought, his game was rage.
But now you're going up against a YouTube fighter who has won some very good fights. I still am giving my credit to Jake Paul. But my thing is, for both of you guys, I want Griffin to go first. I know this is all for entertainment, but Griffin, is it any curiosity that is building around the health concerns of Mike Tyson as far as stamina and then the complications from an ulcer, which is why the fight got delayed?
I think that is something that nobody wants to talk about, really. And as we get closer to the fight in November, it's still going to be a topic that everybody involved with this promotion is not going to mention, because at the end of the day, they are trying to promote Mike Tyson, regardless of age, against Jake Paul.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Marquee Day Club on a Monday. Nye's here. Saw a listener, Andrew, hanging out. Rhino. Plenty of critiques for Nye. Bruh, easy. He rides my ass about it, too, about the show. But we like that. We like passionate listeners. But for everyone out there, when we do these live shows, and especially at a place like this, which might not be a one-off, but right now it's a one-off. Marquee, come down. We do this for you guys. We do it for us, too. But we do it for you guys. It's free entry. We're going to be here probably, till 6 o'clock on the air, probably hang out till 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then on to the next adventure tonight. I have another place to hit tonight.
Oh.
What an exciting life. What an exciting life. Living at day clubs and bars and arenas and Sports Talk Radio in Vegas. It's pretty cool. All right, let's bring in Chris Matthews, who, of course, lives the same life. I mean, he's always out at the clubs. He's always out at bars. We know you're a wild man, Chris. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, this town just cannot contain either both of us. That's crazy. How you doing? Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm good. You know, the funny thing is, Steve's here, and I don't know if you know Steve. He's a big casino host, but Steve's hosting the show today. And we were talking about how much the town has changed over the years, and you've seen a lot of it. And we were just talking about how the stuff that casinos do now, they would have never done 35 years ago. You know, having a day club or, you know, any kind of nightclub in the building, or letting people actually move around, leave the building. It was all about come here and freaking gamble, but now we really are the city of entertainment.
Yeah, you couldn't even have a cell phone around the sports books. Remember that? It's like, hey, get out. You got to go somewhere else. You're right. So many things have changed, but for the better. I mean, when you look at sports and what's happened in this city, we all got to pinch ourselves every day how much fun this is with what's going on every single day. It's almost like now in the sports office here, we have to decide, okay, this has more priority over that, but we used to cover this big time. But now maybe that's like the third story, what it used to be the number one story, because there's all these different things going on every single day and through the weekend.
Yeah, I've noticed that, Chris. Where the hell have you been at UNLV football practice? Come on, bro. What are you doing? I understand there's a whole pecking order. So you have UNLV in an interesting tweet. You had a bunch of the other teams and organizations in a tweet. Explain the idea on this tweet. You have people picking one of six outcomes. Are these dreams? Are we making a prediction on what will happen? What's the background on this?
I thought it'd be kind of fun for the next year for, like, because I know there's fans of all the different sports, the Raiders, the Knights, the NBA that's coming. Obviously, the UNLV football program is improved, and running Rebels with Kevin Kruger, and I know people want to see that explode. And so I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun, with the Aces, what they have done. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to see if you could pick one that you would like to see happen. Not that it's going to happen, and it's just kind of a wish list, but you can only get one, and you have to abide by what the rule was. So I said, how about this? Here's our list of six. I said, the Aces win their third straight WNBA title. That was one. I had the Raiders getting to the AFC title game, but they lose in that game. I had the Golden Knights getting back into the Stanley Cup final series, but they lose the series. I had the Running Rebels getting to the Final Four. Who knows what's going to happen, but they get to the Final Four. And I had UNLV football getting into the playoff, the now 12-team playoff. And I was just talking to my compadre here. I thought, how cool would that be if they got into the playoff? Because they're probably at that point, they would most have to probably have to be unbeaten. So they would probably get a host that first game as one of 12 that's still in the mix for a championship. So that was one of them. And the last one was 2028. The NBA announces within the next year, whatever, that in 2028 they're going to have a team here and start building an arena. Now, so that'd be kind of fun to see. And Steve, not surprisingly, there are so this is because it's always been a basketball city, but it's back and forth between UNLV football getting to the playoff and then the Final Four with the Runner Rebels. That's kind of most of the tweets that I'm getting back from people saying, I want this one or I want that one. So it's kind of fun to see. And some people aren't hockey fans. Some people do not like the Raiders. There's been some WNBA fans, the Aces fans. They'd love to see that third crown in a row, which would be really, really neat. I mean, all these things are really fun. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see what people out there would pick if you had to pick one.
We got Chris in with us from Channel 8. Okay, what is yours that you're going to pick? You got to pick one. What are you picking?
I was going to pick because I really firmly believe that if the Rebel football team was unbeaten, they would get a host one of those 12 games. Can you imagine from where UNLV football has come to what it would be as one of the final 12 teams in that playoff? How cool it would be to host a game. So I actually think, and then it'd be really hard because then I'd go between the UNLV football program and the Runner Rebels getting to the Final Four, because that would be absolutely awesome as well. But if you had a gun to my head and said, which one of the UNLV, I'd say just because it's been down forever, I'd probably say UNLV football getting to the college football playoff. That'd be pretty neat in this town.
Because I am a UNLV alumni, I do like that as my top pick, but I also like NBA announced team coming to Vegas in 2028. That would be incredible. As long as they don't build the stadium on the strip, we're good.
No, they'll build it down by, the plan is right now, down at Blue Diamond and the Boulevard, so it'd be away from the strip, away from the buildings, but it'd have its own little complex down there. We have a couple of casinos. You'd have the arena. You would also have a smaller arena for concerts and that sort of thing, but it would have this would not be hockey. It would be NBA and fights and UFC kind of stuff. So that's pretty exciting. Now a lot of people in this poll that I put out said, well, that's going to happen anyway, Chris, so I'm going to take that off the list. So, but I agree with you. The NBA, it's coming. They'll make the announcement, I would think, surely within the next 5-6 months, that Las Vegas will get a team, which will be really exciting because, after all, we all know, those of us who've been around for a while, this is a basketball city first before it was ever a hockey town or football, whatever. But it's basketball here in Vegas, and so that's why a lot of people would love to see the Rebels get back into the Final Four.
Yeah, this is a good list. You got to pick one. Aces win third straight WNBA title. Raiders AFC title game. Knights Cup final. Runner Rebels to the Final Four. UNLV football to the CFP. I think most people listening would assume my ties to UNLV doing and next level coverage of them, I would say UNLV. I actually, because the NFL is so big and I thrive on angst and not liking other markets, Chris. So I actually think the Raiders, from where they are right now, it just seems like such a freaking struggle. And I like Mark Davis. I know he's trying. I think the Raiders, well, I'd want to, if I were the Raiders, I want the Raiders to go to the AFC title game, not play the Chiefs, but take them out on the way. I think the Raiders here succeeding would be such an awesome, massive story.
That would be big. It would definitely be big. Having this team this year with where we've come from, if you're a Raiders fan, you're looking at these two quarterbacks and you're saying, Gardner Minshew's the guy, and you wait till your second preseason game to even announce that, and this team gets to the AFC title game, yeah, you're right, Steve. That would be absolutely awesome on a grand stage. That would just be gigantic. Locally, there'd still be a lot of people, I think. Now, we're talking Raider Nation, which is global, and a ton of people in California and Central, Northern, and Southern California. No doubt that would be absolutely big. Locally, I still think there'd be a lot of people that would say, I'll take the Runner Rebels Final Four over the Raiders AFC Championship. But you're right. On a massive U.S. scale, the Raiders getting to the AFC title game, that would be huge.
You don't have to go more than 30 seconds because I'm not even sure right now if it warrants it. But what did you think about the Raiders QB decision?
the disappointing thing is that they have to make this kind of a decision, that you don't have a number one guy going into your second preseason game, and following that, then you have to make a decision. Because what that tells you is you don't have a guy. You really don't have a guy. If you're waiting this long and none of them's really neither one of those guys separated themselves, that's a big, big problem, because you don't have a guy then. So now you're just saying, well, this is the guy who's better than that guy. Neither one are great. They're not really a number one, but this is our number one because, well, we had to pick a number one. How great would it have been if you would have been able to say, hey, well, we got a number one back in OTAs, and this is going to be the guy unless he gets hurt, because he's so far ahead of the other two guys. So I think it's disappointing. But now that they made the decision, and it is Gardner Minshew, I like it just because he's played, 30-some-odd or whatever started games. So he has a lot of experience. He has the ability to use his feet and get out of the pocket if needs be. And the schedule is going to be pretty tough at the beginning, where you have to go to Baltimore and L.A. So I probably, in my opinion, the right decision. I know a lot of people that say, hey, well, what about O'Connell, where he finished 5-5 through 10 games, which is pretty impressive for the rookie. But I just think you had to go with a guy that's maybe a little bit more mobile, has some better experience. And who knows, maybe the Minshew magic or the Minshew mania will catch on here in Vegas, and he's the talk of the NFL in about a month from now. That'll be pretty terrific.
Chris Matthews, Channel 8, at Sports 8 up on Twitter, is with us. Last 3 minutes. First off, we got to pimp what you guys are doing for football season, because Mark McMillan is back with you. So what's the whole gamut of shows you guys are doing?
All right, so what we have is, looking forward to it also, we got Mark McMillan back with us, the former cornerback, and just a pleasure to work with Mark. Such a good guy. So we'll have him on Sunday mornings with Raiders Pregame Live, and then every Saturday, some Sundays will come out, mostly Sunday, we'll come out of the Raiders game or the NFL game with our sports wrap program. That could either be a half hour, could be an hour long, and depending upon the time of the year, we always have it, but it could be following, like we have a Big Ten game on Saturday, we're going to come out with sports wrap after that. So sometimes back-to-back, but more often than not, coming out of NFL games on Sunday, we have sports wrap, and then Logan and Gil late at night at 11:30 have a game on Vegas, so they kind of recap things and so forth. So a lot of fun stuff coming up, but I'm looking forward to Raiders Pregame Live once again, 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings with Mark McMillan. I really think we put a lot of time and effort into it. I think it's a pretty good show.
Very good. Chris is a nice guy, but he's got an edge, and he's competitive. So what exactly happened the other day with the Aces and game cut off? What's going on local TV here, Chris?
I know. Doesn't that bother you? I mean, fortunately, the Heidi game wasn't there. They didn't throw that up, but they went right to the NFL game when there was, a minute and a half or a minute four. Now the game was decided, but you don't dump out of a game, do you, when it's toward the end? And I know the WNBA fans got to be really, really upset, because they dump out of the game, the local affiliate, and they go right to the NFL game, the San Francisco New Orleans game. And so I know there were probably fans sitting at home saying, what? This isn't fair. We're the WNBA, but still the NFL. We had a minute and a half left of this game and whatever. So, yeah, I was a little bothered. I know it bothered some fans out there. It had to bother some fans out there.
I don't like to dance around the topic. That was what? Was that Channel 5? Okay. And you know what? I love Fox. I do some stuff with Fox.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, and I think I don't know if it's you said it or someone else, but I've heard it before. I just want to make sure it wasn't Channel 13, Channel 13-ing.
No. It was the Fox station, here in town. Right.
Just want to make sure. You know what? I'll give a lot of credit to Channel 13. They've added a bunch of people to their staff, and that's good for all of us in the market, in sports. We want more jobs. You know, it helps you guys. You got to compete more, so... Sports is at an all-time high right now. I'm glad to see all the TV stations are blowing up. We're hiring a bunch of people at Lotus, so it's dynamite.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've always contended the same thing like you, Steve. The more, the better. If they're doing more high school prep shows, we got to step it up and do more stuff. The more that they do in sports in this town, the more it makes everybody step up, and I think that's just a terrific thing.
You're the best. You always come on short notice. Let's get you on soon. Thank you, Chris.
All right, thanks, Steve.
I like the fire in TV. They like to compete. They like to throw down. Anchorman's not entirely like a false story. Like, I know Chris in the past has had a trident and like thrown it at someone on another channel. I guarantee there's been some freaking back alley brawls. And he's the best, man. He's been here for a long time. I was going to say forever to date him, but no. He's awesome. And they do a great job. And Mark McMillan, of course, on the football shows on the weekends. 5 o'clock hours here. Steve Sears is going to be back in just a little bit. We got to get to the WNBA Wild Weekend.